My guest at this time is Jesse Johnson. He's the lead teaching pastor at Emmanuel Bible Church in Springfield, Virginia. He is also a frequent contributor to the Christian blog TheCrippleGate.com. Over the past few weeks, Pastor Johnson has written multiple pieces on the transgender movement, what the church needs to know, and how believers ought to respond. His focus comes not only in the wake of Bruce Jenner's claim to be a woman this week, but also in the wake of Virginia's Fairfax County schools deciding to accommodate transgender teachers and students. Emmanuel is located in Fairfax County, and in the interest of full disclosure, Jesse is also my pastor. Jesse, thanks so much for being with us.
It's a joy to be here, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start about as basic as we can get here from a spiritual perspective. Transgenderism, is it a sin, and if so, why?
It is a sin because it's a form of rebellion against God. The scripture teaches that people were made in the image of God and that they were made male and female. We live in a country that has freedom, of course, and people can do in many respects what they want to with their own body as long as they're not harming other people. But we still have a category for something that is sinful because it's done out of rebellion against God.
All sin is generally considered rebellion against God. So is there anything unique or special about this type of sin?
Well, yeah, you know, most Americans who want to rebel against God just say, I don't need God to forgive me of my sins because I'm a good person. And they go on and they try to work hard and be good people, totally ignoring God. That's probably the good old-fashioned American way to rebel against God. But there's a special, you know, there's a special kind of rebellion that people do against God where that's not good enough. You know, somebody who works hard and just tries to have a decent life, they're still using the gifts God gave them, such as work and government and all that. So there's a second degree of rebellion against God where somebody says, you know, I'm not going to be content just being my own person. I want to actually rebel against the way God made me. I mean, it's this idea of who does God think he is, that he would choose that I get to be male or he would choose that I get to be female. What right does he have? And so this, I think, it is a deeper form of rebellion against God than simply, you know, simply rejecting him.
One of the things we're seeing this week in the media, Jesse, and I'm sure you've noticed, is that there seems to be pressure on people to accept what Bruce Jenner is saying, to use the new name, to refer to him with female pronouns and that sort of thing. What is it about this demand for acceptance that we should understand?
When somebody rebels against God in this way, that's never sufficient enough for them. You know, their goal in rebellion is to silence their conscience and is to silence the conviction of sin that they feel. And so simply changing their body or changing their sexual identity is never going to actually achieve that. It's not going to fix the conscience at all. And so the second part of that rebellion is to demand that others approve, you know, to demand that others also say, you know what you're doing is fine. You know, it's okay to rebel against God that way. In fact, you know, it's brave of you to do it. So they're really seeking the approval. And the Bible makes clear that's the one thing that Christians can't do. Romans 1 talks about how people who fall into this kind of sin immediately go pursuing and demanding that other people approve of it as well. The book of Jude talks about people who display their shame like the foam of the ocean, throwing it up. You know, Jesus talked about people who feared man and wanted the approval of men more than the approval of God. I mean, that's the very thing they're after, is for people who know God to approve of what they're doing. And that's the one thing that Christians can't do, is they can't be seen as approving of that which God calls evil.
Other than not approving, what are ways that believers should approach this issue?
Well, believers should approach this issue, you know, not exaggerating the significance of it. I mean, this is sin, but this is not like it's the unforgivable sin or anything. Believers understand that all sin can be forgiven through the person of Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus and submission to his word and his rule. And so you always remember that, you know, you love your neighbor, you love those who are around you. And part of love, this is a key part for Christians to remember, part of love does not mean accepting someone as they portray themselves. You know, part of love is wanting what is best for that other person. And God, of course, knows what's best. You know, the other thing I would say practically that believers need to be aware, everybody needs to be aware, that this is why this new movement is focusing on bathrooms at school. You know, it goes back to this idea that I don't want to be confronted with the sin that I've done to my body. I don't want to be confronted with it. And where's the place you're confronted with it every single time? You know, every single day you're confronted with that sin when you have to choose which restroom you're going to use in public. Because it seems so strange that some, you know, political movement with nationwide support would target elementary school bathrooms. Like, is that really their next push, is elementary school bathrooms? You got to be kidding me. It seems so surreal. But what's behind that is this idea that is the place where these people are confronted with their sin. They're confronted with the fact that God made them in a way that they reject, and so their goal is to attack that place in our culture.
Jesse, you've not only written, you've also preached on this recently, and you made the interesting point that this all seems to be part of the same LGBT movement, but you've made the case that really, when you break it down, it's kind of L, G, and B versus T. Explain what you meant by that.
Well, there's in many ways that some basic presuppositions of the transgender movement are very contrary to what is held by most, you know, gay, lesbian, and bisexual activists. And of course, you know, every gay, lesbian, bisexual activist is their own person. You know, there's not some corporate thoughts that they all have. But there is some mainstream things that movement teaches. You know, the whole idea of be proud of who you are. I mean, it's pretty core to the lesbian, gay, and bisexual identity, and that's exactly what the transgender identity rebels against. It rebels against, you know, how they were made. They don't want to be proud of who they are. They want to alter it in a serious way. But even in a more profound way, the transgender movement's antagonistic towards feminism. It's antagonistic towards gay rights in many regards, because, you know, the core of feminism is that you can't reduce femininity to, you know, a certain set of physical features, and that's exactly what the transgender movement tries to do. I mean, even men who are changing their bodies to be women are presenting this, you know, this idea that femininity is just simply the lack of maleness. You know, remove the male parts and you have a woman. You know, add some other physical parts and you have a woman. And of course, that's not what true womanhood is. And so the transgender movement, it's hostile to real feminism in our culture. It's definitely hostile to this idea of, in the gay rights movement, that you're attracted to somebody based on their physical appearance. Where the transgender movement says, you know, their physical appearance is not necessarily connected to gender or to sex. And so that becomes a huge problem. I mean, logically, things that are presented by the two movements, you know, don't correspond at all. They conflict all over the place. But the transgender movement is trying to ride on the success of the gay rights coattails, so to speak.
The last question. This calls obviously for a little bit of speculation. We've had the debate over gay marriage and gay rights in general over quite a few years. The transgender movement seems to have exploded here. Where do you see this all going here in the near future?
I think it goes one of two ways. I think either the gay rights and transgender movement overplays its hand, and I think this transgender push now is an example of that. They overplay their hand. This is another place where the transgender movement is at odds with a lot of the gay rights movement. I think there's some of the more intelligent gay activists, I think, see the writing on the wall with this, that if the transgender movement keeps pushing like they are, that it's going to have a backlash against the gay rights movement. And so, I mean, I think that's probably what's going to happen. If you start going after elementary school bathrooms all over the country, it's likely to have a backlash. So, I mean, I'd like to think that it would play out that way, and that, you know, even part of that, people in the country would see that this whole movement, it is connected to gay rights and same-sex marriages. You know, if you say that gender doesn't matter for a marriage, you know, why would you say it matters for a bathroom? Marriages are obviously more significant than what bathroom you use. And yet, it's an argument of the greater to the lesser. I mean, if the thing is absurd at the level of the bathroom, obviously it's absurd at the level of a marriage. So I hope it plays out that way, you know, or that it just keeps advancing ahead. You know, locker rooms cease to be gender-specific. High school athletics cease to be gender-specific, which you're already seeing pushes for that in Minnesota and in parts of California. So, I mean, I think it could play out that way. But, I mean, eventually this whole thing just has to come to an end. It doesn't have any logical legs to it. It just contradicts itself in so many different places. I think it's got to run its course.
Jesse, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Absolutely. Jesse Johnson is the lead teaching pastor at Emmanuel Bible Church in Springfield, Virginia. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.